Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the spirits of Wisconsin. Haunted bunk beds, a mysterious beast that lives down a desolate Milwaukee area road, or a small town that found itself cursed after a mining boom gone bust. These are just some of the dark stories that come out of a state many only reference to cheese or football. Ghost stories in the state of Wisconsin can be traced back to the mid-1800s and fully accepted by its citizens more readily than many other areas. Is it this cultural acceptance of the undead that seems to make Wisconsin ghost stories so mysterious and spread faster than others? Or is it just a state that's more haunted than others? Today, we discuss the spirits of Wisconsin with Mike Huberty.
Well, I was always into ghost stories. I remember being 6 years old in my school library and reading every book they had about ghost stories. They had one about like ghost investigation. Mm-hmm. And this is before, so I grew up in the late 70s and early 80s. And so this is before any ghost adventures and EMF meters. And, you know, they would have little tricks about baking soda and trip wires and things that things that now you would try to do to catch a ghost or whatever. They would just have these little books with illustrations that would tell you how to do it. And I was just always fascinated with pictures of ghosts and like the brown lady. Like the first time I saw that picture, I was like, how did they do this? And it blew my mind. And, you know, so I was just that weird kid that was always into it. And my sister was into it too. My sister is a few years older than I was, or than I am. And we both were just every time you would have some kind of true ghost story or, you know, there's a haunted Toys R Us in California would be on That's Incredible. And that would be like, oh, my God. Or there's a werewolf in Britain and a video investigation and be on a TV show. We would, you know, stop whatever we were doing. And like I was the only person in the house that knew how to use the VCR. Mm-hmm. And so like I would, you know, like, make sure it was recorded. Like if we were going out to dinner, like I make sure we record it. So it was just something that my sister and I were both completely into as kids. We would listen on WGN was the radio station out of Chicago. And we grew up in the Milwaukee area, but you could pick up Chicago radio in Milwaukee because it's only 80 miles away. Mm-hmm. And we listened to stories on Halloween from WGN, and it would be Richard Crowe, the ghost hunter. Mm-hmm. And he started like a ghost tour of Chicago where you could get on a bus and go see all these different haunted sites in the Chicago area. And it just got really fascinated with the haunted history of the area. And anytime it was on TV, anytime it was on the radio, I would stop whatever I was doing and listening. And so I think one of the authors I used to really read all the time too was this guy named Daniel Cohen, and he would write like true paranormal stories and legends and you know, just books upon books for, I'd say, elementary school readers, middle school readers, on paranormal topics. And I feel like, you know, when people ask like, who's your great influence? I'm like, you ever heard of this writer named Daniel Cohen? He wrote paranormal books for kids. And I read his entire, like whatever he put out, I would read. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what started it out. I couldn't get enough of books about the paranormal, TV shows about the paranormal, radio, whatever I could find. And that is as long as I can remember.
Did you have any initial experience or anything that sparked it? Or was it just kind of there? It was just a topic that you were just intrigued by. And you don't know why, but it was just there.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Like no kind of experience. Sure. Like other people talk about, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. well, I, I saw my grandfather after he passed in my bedroom, and that made me realize that spirits are real. And I'm like, what? You saw your grandfather in your bedroom after he passed? That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, sorry about your grandpa, but that's awesome. And, you know, so for me, I never had any kind, I would eventually have some interesting experiences and some paranormal things happen that I can't explain. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, in the beginning, nothing. And I was always looking for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, other people had some kind of like formative experience where they're like, yep, that's what led me to believe I in the other side. Or, and I never had that kind of moment where I could say like, this happened and I can clearly say that this was a paranormal experience. I had some things that, you know, danced around it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I had a dream. I remember when I was 12 years old, I was having a nightmare about something. And then all of a sudden I was in a dream where I was in a snowball fight with my friend and we were tossing snowballs back and forth across the street with these kids. And he brings out like this red circular sled and uses it to defend himself. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And the snowball fight was fun. And then like I yanked out back into like whatever nightmare I was having. And then 6 months later, that scene actually played out in real life.
Yeah.
Like we were, I was at his house and I'd completely forgotten about it. And then the neighbor kids who we'd never even hung out with at all, mm-hmm. like started throwing snowballs. And I'm like, why does this seem familiar? And then he busts out the sled and I'm like, oh, whoa, I've seen this before. And I saw maybe I had some kind of little bit of, you know, precognition in a dream.
Yeah.
And that, but I, that could be something as like, well, I remembered it, you know, it could have been just a weird tick of the brain and,
sure.
and I like a deja vu experience. So I never had those clincher experiences mm-hmm. that people talk about. And I was always looking for one.
I understand. I think I was very, very similar. I was probably doing about the exact same thing as you about 60 miles north where I grew up.
right.
Because I was always out there. I think it was more of an atmospheric thing than anything else. My interest goes all the way back to the age of two. I literally have, and this is so insane, but I have a cassette tape of me playing radio station talking about ghosts in nice. this is like 1983 when this tape is originally from. And here's what I'm doing today, essentially playing radio station podcasting, you know, talking about ghosts all these years
later. That was
later.
Your own kind of precognition.
It's crazy.
Right?
It's and I've always played radio station, and then I worked in radio forever all over the state of Wisconsin and all over. And then I do podcasts for the last 7 years. But the ghost thing has always been very just part of me, and I don't have a specific experience. Later in life, I had a couple things, but nowhere near, you know, the stories that I hear from so many people. But it's just always been kind of a part of some of my interests as well. So I totally understand where you're coming from. For you, the state of Wisconsin, it's one of those places. And I wonder if this is something that every state says to a certain extent. But it was something I always heard kind of thrown around there when I lived there from several people, from Chad Lewis and several others, that the state of Wisconsin is supposedly one of the most haunted states per square mile or something of that nature. And it's very interesting because it has a lot of ghost stories. Every town seems to have ghost stories, and it's a community, an area that seems to be very open about it as well. A lot of other places, especially in the South now where I am, people are kind of tight-lipped, unless you're kind of in that community, in terms of just openly talking about, yeah, that house down the road is haunted. Do you feel that way? Do you feel Wisconsin holds a lot more ghosts, or are people just more open about it than other areas of the country?
Well, it does feel like it's a weird place.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think about that in the more remote areas of the country.
Yeah.
Like Oklahoma feels like that in some places. Maine, you know, you talk to people up there, it just some people who are maybe in almost the vacation land areas,
sure.
Where people from the bigger cities kind of dart in and out of and everything, but you have the people that are here all the time. I do think we tend to skew a little bit different. I don't know specifically about the number of ghost stories per capita, yeah, if it's any different than anywhere else.
Sure.
But I can say, like, if you just collect the different stories around the state of Wisconsin, you'll find everything.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking to Chad a couple weeks ago. You just mentioned Chad Lewis. We were just talking about the Wendigo a couple weeks ago. You know, he's written the haunted road trip guide to Wisconsin and all the different places you can go to. And, you know, from the southeast corner that had the Beast of Bray Road in the late 1980s to, you know, the mysterious, was Black River Falls cursed? And the book was in the eventual documentary, Wisconsin Death Trip, to, you know, all the weirdness in La Crosse. And the missing bodies along the the strange drownings that happened in the Mississippi River in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It seems like throughout the state, you have a ton of weirdness. Even and then when you get up to the logging territory and up north, and Rhinelander has a famous hoax monster called the Wendigo. Not the Wendigo, but a famous hoax monster called the Hodag.
Mm-hmm. And also a country music festival with the same title.
Exactly right. And so, like, you have this idea of these weird cryptids, but also up north has plenty of Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, every part of the state, in a state that's not really that big, mm-hmm, with only about 5 million people, you do have, let's see, a plethora of, I mean, we have three different places in Wisconsin that have UFO festivals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three different, in this, you know, we don't have a Roswell here, but we have an Elmwood and they've got a UFO festival. We've got, you know, tiny towns where they celebrate UFO sightings from the 1960s. And it's little things like that that they're willing to embrace. I think we're willing to embrace some of the weirdness in a way because it's just a way to show we're a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It's a way, you know, we don't have to compete with bigger cities or, you know, this kind of goes back to, I'd say, one of the reasons that we do haunted history tours in Wisconsin. And my sister started one in Milwaukee in 2007, and I started one in Madison in 2010. And now we have about, you know, 11 different cities where we're doing haunted history tours and letting people know the amazing stories that are coming in their own town. It's because growing up in Wisconsin, while, you know, you can make jokes about the dairy state and stuff, it's a beautiful place. I mean, you know, wonderful for 6 months out of the year. It's the greatest place in the universe. For 6 months out of the year, it's the worst place in the universe. I'm talking about wintertime.
Yep.
But, you know, you see the ghost stories and history on TV, and you're like, oh my God, like in Europe, they have thousands of years. You know, in England, they have ghosts of Roman soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know, that's from 2,000 years ago. And in the, you know, Wisconsin and Minnesota and Illinois, I mean, when the European settlers kind of made the Treaty of Chicago or whatever that split up this land and they finally defeated the Native American tribes that were living here, and the Native American tribes just gave up and they gave the land after years of war. That goes back to the 1830s. And so it only starting then do we start having this kind of history in English written down where we can start looking at and legends and people feeling connected to the land. And so you just don't have those centuries of history here when it comes to European settlers and histories written in English that we can easily research.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much First Nations lore and incredible stories from, you know, water monsters and thunderbirds and spirits of the woods and fairies or little people. I mean, the Native American kind of fairy stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that, but it just it's hard when you're like, oh man, everywhere else has such this rich history and we only have this piece. But when you look close enough, you find all the weird stories even in the past 180 years.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.